This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Biblical Christian Living Part 2, was delivered on February 2nd, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Go ahead, ushers. So just to remind you, after today's service at the end, we're going to be taking communion. So keep that in mind. Whew. Thank you so much for filling in. Last week, I went to Oahu. My niece got married. And because we have people in this church who can take over, I could go. And thank you so much, Pastor Aaron, Pastor Dennis, and James, Scott, all those guys who came early to set up. Man, I really appreciate you guys. You guys are so valuable. I know the men's ministry met in the back. They had a rummage sale last minute, and they didn't call me and tell me that we couldn't use the pavilion. But Tom found out, and he messaged me and everything, so we got that all settled up. But so we're in the process of raising leaders, and you know, we can never have enough leaders in our church. And even if we raise plenty of leaders, there are other churches who still need leaders. So some of you may stay here. Some of you may be called out, but that's why we raise leaders, because we need them in our churches. Amen? Well, we're going to be doing part two on biblical Christian living, and we're going to be talking again about the one another verses in the Bible. There are so many times when the Bible talks about one another, you know, pray for one another, forgive one another, build up one another. And it's been said, like, the Bible is the mind of God in print. And when we read the Bible, it tells us what to do, when to do. It tells us what we need to know, when we need to know. And it has so many things that's so good for us. And the Bible, as the mind of God, tells us there are right ways and wrong ways to live. There are right things and wrong things to do. There are right beliefs and wrong beliefs. Right behaviors, wrong behaviors. The one I need the most is the right way to drive and the wrong way to drive. Yeah. Probably has something, but in between the lines I got to read. And Romans 15:4, it's a good verse to highlight in your Bible. It says, for why whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions. I like it how it says our instructions, because sometimes we read the Bible and we look at somebody else. You see, this is for you, talking about you. You see? We read it to give other people instruction. How many of you ever did that before? Read the Bible and tell your spouse, you see, God talking to you. Yeah. You know, the other week, I had something in my eye for like a couple of days, and I think, like, oh, man, I got to get this log out of my eye. This is irritating. It's like, you know what the Bible still talks about? Before you point out your brother's speck in his eye, take out the log from your eye. Before you point out somebody else's sin, take out the ones from your eye. So I was thinking about that when I had that speck in my eye for a couple of days. You know, God wants us to help one another remain faithful, to serve him with the best of our abilities. And as you and I, as we examine the one another's in the New Testament, the goal is that it will be our guide to proper biblical living with one another. You know, and I tried my best to group these so that we could best identify them. And there, you know, if you group them, you can put some in same categories, different categories. But as I prayed, I tried to group them in categories that we could kind of relate and we could try and understand them better. So the next set of one another has to do with, number one, unity. And I think unity is really, really a good topic today, right? Because how many 49er fans we got in here? You say something. Yay! Okay, how many Kansas City Chiefs fans we got in? Okay. Oh, we can see. We're kind of not united there, right? A house divided shall not prosper. But man, you can. I still. When I thought thought about this morning, like, wow, what a topic. We're talking about unity when we got 49er fans and Kansas City fans. Oh my goodness. How are we going to be united when we're so divided? But thank God it's just, well, for some people it's just a game. Some people was like, and I'm so glad that my Rams didn't make it. I can enjoy the game, and I can make fun of both of you when the other team scores. Yeah! I can be texting you guys, touchdown, fumble, interception, and I can be laughing. But can we be united in a way that we all love and honor God? Amen? And can we all be united hoping that it will be a good game and there will be good food? You know, I told my wife this week, honey, it's not about the game. It's really not about the game. It's the company that we have that we get to fellowship with. It's really not about the game, but it's just sitting down with each other and talking story. Like when I go fishing, it's not so much about the fishing anymore, but it's about the fellowship. And if God allows us to catch fish, that's great. If the fish is not biting, then we just need to sit down and talk story and hang out with each other. And that's what it's all about. So unity, and the first bullet point is be at peace with one another. In Mark 9:50, salt is good, but if the salt becomes unsalty, What will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. So in this last section of Mark 9, Jesus is talking about sin here. And he's also using his name to cast out demons. And then he closes this chapter by telling us to be salt, meaning make things around us better. Just as salt enhances flavor, we get to enhance life. Then he says, be at peace with one another. What does that mean? Be at peace. Well, it means for one thing, don't make war. How many of you are a good button pusher? With your spouse? With your co-workers? Push the buttons? You know, you know what they don't like? So you do it on purpose just to get under their skin? Guys, maybe you know that your wife doesn't like it when you leave the toilet seat up, so you just leave them up anyway. Tell, well, I got to lift them up. You can put them down. And, you know, just the things that, you know, pushing buttons. And sometimes my wife can push my buttons, and I tell her, stop it. Stop, stop, stop. You don't want to go there because it's going to get messy. Right? But sometimes you push buttons. How many of you, like, push the buttons and just to, you know, see how far they can go before it go boom and explode and it's a big mess. But the Bible says, be at peace with one another. Meaning, stop pushing those buttons. For me, yes. I mean, stop pushing the buttons and act in a way that is according to the Word of God. That means I need to be extra caring and cherish my wife and be at peace with her. That means doing what God asked me to do. So we need to make sure. And I think when we're going through life every day, and you can think, am I being with peace, at peace with one another? It doesn't say be at peace with the persons who are you are peaceful with. It doesn't say be at peace with only the people who are nice, but it says be at peace with one another. And last time I checked, one another is a lot of one another people, right? I think sometimes we get selective who we want to be at peace with, and we get selective who we want to make war with, huh? Okay, and the next one is accept one another, then just as Christ accepted you. Romans 5:15-7. Therefore, accept one another just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So the Roman church, where Paul was writing this about, was really a diverse community. I would say maybe just like Hawaii, because they had Jews, they had Gentiles, they had free people, they had slaves, they had the rich, they had the poor, they had the strong, they had the weak. I mean, you look at Hawaii, how much different nationalities we have. And you know what I love about it? We have Asians, we have Koreans, we have Hawaiians, we have Filipinos. We have so much different nationalities bundled up together. And we learn how to work together to live in peace with one another. And the best thing about it is, man, the food, right? You get Hawaiian food, you get Puerto Rican food, Korean food, Filipino food. Oh, man. You know what I mean? We got the best of everything. And we learned how to work together, to work in unity. And you know, sometimes when I travel, and one time I traveled to the the East Coast. And you know, when you get on the rent-a-car bus and you see people with a whole bunch of bags, our tendency naturally is to go help them, right? So I was helping this man put his bags on the bus, and everybody stopped and they just looked at me. And I was like, this just looked like I was doing something wrong. You know, seriously. And it's like, wow. And I could see how different the culture is. But here in Hawaii, we have a different culture, and it's more unified, where we get along with all the different nationalities because we have so much and we learn to live in unity. And so back in where when the scripture was written, it was kind of difficult in Rome to accept one another. And the accepting part means, you know, we had to bring people into our homes, into our hearts, into our, back then maybe they had tents, into our meals. And they, Paul was writing this so that they would avoid racial and economical discrimination. And sometimes for us, we need to go out of our way to avoid favoritism and consciously spend time greeting those who normally we don't talk to. And that's one of the things I ask you to sit in a different seat every week. I mean, Art, there's more than one fan here. There's four, so you can sit under one of four fans. Yeah. I know some of you just love sitting under the fans because it's cooler. But there's four fans so you can move around. One day we're going to take off that tarp in the back and all you guys in the back are going to have to come up front. So we ask you to sit with one another so you can meet new people. And this way you can learn to love them, accept them, just as Christ accepted you. And when we can do that, we give God the glory. Amen. 1 Corinthians 11:33. So then, my brethren, when you come to eat together, wait for one another. Whew. Sometimes it's hard to wait for one another, especially when you're hangry. Yeah? You know, certain days of the week, my wife gets off of work at like 6, sometimes 6:30. And by the time she gets home, it's like 7. And if I miss lunch, I am so hangry that I ain't waiting for her. And when she walks in the door, I gotta say, Lord, honey, sorry, honey. I had to eat because I was so hungry that I had to. But it says, wait for one another. I mean, yes, we get to wait. You know what the best thing about it is? When we wait and we sit down and we eat together, it's so nice. And we can eat, chew, stop, talk story, eat, chew, stop, talk story. Sometimes, to confess, I wolf down my food and then I watch my wife eat. Yeah, and it's not waiting, but then I'm like, if we're at home, after I'm finished eating, I'm done, walk away from the table, turn on the TV. Bad. Bad, not doing, you know, when we wait and we eat together, it's so much more fun. I just need to learn how to do this. So, like a lot of times when I write these messages, it's always for me first because I got to work on these things. The next one, have equal concern for each other. 1 Corinthians 12:25. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Right? So whether the 49ers win or the Chiefs win, if the 49ers win, Chiefs fan, rejoice for with those who rejoice. Okay? If the Kansas City, if the Chiefs lose, then 49ers weep with those who weep. And it goes both ways now. Okay? Because whether who wins or who loses, we cannot be gloating about it over the win or the loss. We shouldn't be anyway. Because I'm guilty because I've been calling the 49ers the 40 whiners the whole week. And forgive me, Niners fans, but it's like coarse jesting what the Bible says not to do. I am guilty. Yeah. So what is your response when a fellow brother or sister is blessed? How do you respond when your fellow brother or your sister is suffering? We are to be joyful with those who are joyful, and if they are sad, share their sorrow. Too often, unfortunately, we are jealous of those who rejoice and unsympathetic to those who weep. Believers, we are together in this cruel world. There is no such thing as a private Christian. We need to get involved in the lives of others, not just enjoy our own relationship with God, but rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. The next one is be patient, bearing with one another in love. Ephesians 4:2. And I love this scripture. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. And a New Living Translation, always be humble. It says, always be humble and gentle. Always. Be patient with each other, making allowances for each other's faults because of your love. I got some news for you. None of us are going to be perfect here on earth. So we must accept and love other Christians in spite of our faults. When we see other believers, we should be patient and be gentle. Is there someone who does things that annoys you? And rather than dwelling on a person's weakness or looking for faults, we are to pray for them and even go further, go hang out with them. I think if you hang around with them, you learn to like them. And then there's a whole bunch of other scriptures on unity right there below. If you keep biting and devouring each other, you'll be destroyed by each other, Galatians 5:15. Let us not be conceited, provoking, and envying one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Bear with each other. Do not slander one another. Do not grumble against each other. Confess your sins to each other. And all these have to do with unity. And finally, closing out unity, Romans 12:18. Can you read that with me? Ready, go. If possible, so far it depends on you, be at peace with all men. All, not some. All. Okay, all is all. All is not some, but all is all. The next one is forgiveness. Forgiving each other. Ephesians 4:32, be kind and compassionate to one another. Be kind and compassionate to one another. Forgiving each other. Just as Christ God forgave you. I mean, you know the Bible commands us to forgive one another. It's written how many times? We should be forgiving just as we have been forgiven much. This is Christ's law of forgiveness. as taught in the Gospels. And as we come to understand God's mercy, we want to be like Him, like Christ-like. And being that we have received forgiveness, we should be willing to pass it on to others. Those who are unwilling to forgive, you know, maybe you don't understand how Christ has forgiven you. Christ was willing to forgive those who were crucifying them. As He was being nailed to the cross, He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." We need to be people who are quick and willing to forgive those who have wronged us. Amen? Forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Colossians 3:13. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord have forgiven you. Now, if you think about it, think about your sins and think about how much God forgave you. All you had to do was confess. As 1 John 1:9, you know, you confess your sins. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Not some, but all unrighteousness. And you confess and He forgives you. Think about all the things that you've been forgiven of. And think about, did I really deserve that forgiveness? Probably not, but it didn't matter because once you confess, God forgives you. Now, being that we have been forgiven so much, we need to pass it on and forgive others. Amen? And then there's this group of one another's that I call others because I couldn't fit them into any other category. But stop passing judgment on one another. And I like how Jennifer talked about, you know, when that person's speeding, you don't know what they're going through, and I need to learn that about when they're speeding and they're ripping in and out of traffic and I'm over there narrating. It's like, oh, where is Captain Brisky now? Get that guy. Get him. And I don't know if that person is speeding to the hospital, but in my mind, I've already judged them, right? And that person running the red light, oh, I'm already judging them, like, oh, my goodness. And I need to, you know, rethink and transform my thinking, as she said. You know, Romans 14:13. Therefore, that's one of the therefores that one day I'm going to talk about, the therefores. Therefore, because it's there for something, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way. I think when we start judging others, you know, like when we're all inside here and somebody walks in late, oh, your mind starts thinking, oh, how rude you come in here late after the stuff started already. Yeah. Right? We can cause stumbling blocks. And Paul urged us to be sensitive to those whose faith may be harmed. Because when we start judging others and we start talking trash, and somebody's like, wow, that's how you guys talk in this church. You talk bad about everybody else. I don't want to come here. And put the stumbling block when we judge one another. Yeah? How you know? Maybe they just had a bad morning waking up. Maybe when they got ready to go, come to church, the dog jumped on them and had paw prints all over them. It's like, oh. And then if they came to church with paw prints, and we'd judge them again. Look at this person. How rude, they come to church all dirty with paw prints all over them. Right? And then when they sit next to us, oh, they smell like a dog. Right? So we got to stop all that right now. Don't judge one another. I think when we see something like that, instead of thinking or judging them, I think we should just pray for them. I think that would be a better thing to do. Amen. So that's what I try to do when I see people speeding and running red lights. I try not to judge them. I try. And I try to pray for them instead. I like this one, the last bullet point. Do not lie to each other. I think this one was, when Paul was writing this, I think he had fishermen in mind. Yeah. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. See, lying disrupts the unity, destroying trust. It tears down relationships. If we are liars and we lie to each other in church, then we would be in conflict, we would be not united. So the lying part includes not exaggerating statistics. Like, oh, last week I caught like 500 mempachi. Yes, I caught 500 mempachi in the Alawai Canal. And when you show the people your fish, don't you tell them that you caught that mempachi in Wailoa. Right, brothers? Or we cannot say things to build up our own image. Okay, we need to be committed to telling the truth, that the fish was actually this big. Not, you know, I may go, the fish was this big, but it was actually this big. So I'm not lying when I say the fish was this big, because it was actually this big. Just that because I'm holding up this hand doesn't mean nothing. Right? The fish I caught was this big. And you go like, wow. When your wife asks you, does this dress make me look fat? I will not go there. I'll be preparing for my own funeral. So we cannot lie to one another, right? I ran 5 miles in 30 minutes, even when nobody was chasing me. No, we cannot lie. We gotta be truthful. And there's so much. I'm gonna be doing more one another's next week. And I think next week, the one another's, I think it includes love. Love one another. And it's like so, there's like, I think there's more love one another's than anything else in the Bible. And so we're gonna be doing that next week. But there is, you know, look up the scriptures in the context of why he's telling them love one another, do this to one another, forgive one another, do not lie to one another, don't judge one another, and study them. Because, you know, if we're going to live a Christ-like life, we need to pay attention to these things so that we can treat one another the way God wants us to treat one another. Amen? So that we can live in unity. We can live together. We can be humble with one another. And when we can do that, this fellowship we have here called New Hope East Hawaii would be so attractive that we wouldn't be able to fit all the cars in here. Almost like today, we're kind of full. And pretty soon, when you come at 9 o'clock, don't grumble with one another if you got to park outside. Yeah. And if you like good parking, hey, you can come here. I'm here. I think I was here at 4:40. Scott was here, like right behind me. When I went out to put the signs, he was already over here. And if you like good parking, you can come early. But this place would be so attractive when we can live these one another's, that people would be breaking down the gates to get in here, to be a part of this fellowship who truly reflects biblical Christian living when we take care of one another. Amen? You may put away your notes. We're going to take communion now. Are you ready? James is doing communion. Yes. Would you welcome James? Oh. Here he is to lead us in communion.
Morning. Well, I wasn't on the schedule to do the communion, but I was like, oh yeah, Pastor Aaron's going to do it. I get a break, but God spoke to me and he said, I better do it. So I'm being obedient again. And the other day I was just talking with God and I was thanking him for all the blessings he's been giving me. And then he just told me, he just said to check my heart and just ask yourself why you're doing this. And then I was thinking, oh, I'm serving so I can get blessed more and I can, I'm doing this for that. And like he said, I shouldn't be that way because it's already been done. Jesus saved all of us for dying on the cross, and I felt real convicted, and I gotta check my heart when I do stuff. It's just doing stuff for what he's done in our lives, and then the other thought came into my head is like, look at some of your loved ones that don't know God, and you imagine them they're going to get thrown in hell, and Jesus comes and he saves them. And I was like, oh man, I was like, I need to start living life like that, being more grateful and just honoring him by the way I live my life. And like Pastor said, we just got to show more love. And like for the people in the world that don't know God, the only way they can kind of see it in us is by the way we live. And we can bring them to that, even though we can tell them to come to church. They're watching how we live, and this is why we do this every month on the first, is just to remind us what he's done and how he got broken. And every time I do this, is I tell everybody to just give everybody a chance to just ask God for forgiveness for our sins and come with a clean heart and just remember why we do this. So just take a moment right now. Okay. On that night, and Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and he explained to them what was going to happen, and he even told them that one of them there was going to betray him, and even knowing this, he still did what he had to do. And then on that night, he took some bread, he gave thanks to it, gave God thanks to it, he broke it into pieces, and he gave it to his disciples. Everyone, take off the bread. And then later in the night, he took a cup of wine and he said, this is the covenant between God and his people, an arrangement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Everyone, take a cup of wine. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your love, for sending him to be broken, for him pouring out his blood just to save us. Father, just let us be obedient to you and just let us show the world how grateful we are for your Son. And just let us live in love. Let the world just see our love. And we just give you all the praise and glory for your blessings to come and just the blessing that already is your Son, Jesus Christ. In his mighty name we pray. In Jesus, amen.
Thank you, James. Just for the record, okay? James was sharing that story with me this morning, and right before we prayed and we came up here to do worship this morning, it's like God spoke to me, and he said, check with James if he's willing to share that story for communion. So I told him that, and I already knew what his answer was going to be, but he kind of held off on me. And I know all through worship, brother was struggling with that. And God spoke to him and he said, so thank you for your obedience, James. Well, let's end this Super Sunday giving God glory. So would you stand? And one more thing, 49ers fans, Chiefs fans, don't ever forget that in the end, the Saints win. Okay? Let's give God glory.
Listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kea, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.